Talent is on the order of 15 to 20 million.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Yes, indeed. Yes, you are tuned to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. Welcome and thanks for tuning in. If you are in our broadcast range, which is the state of Pennsylvania, the southeastern Pennsylvania area, the state of New Jersey or northern Delaware, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. Then, of course, sit back, relax and enjoy, because we're going to have a very interesting broadcast for you. If you received our email this morning, send it out to someone else. This is the best way we have of getting new people. If you're on Facebook, send it out to them and say, tune in to the wild people here on American Workers Radio. And our wild group of guests today is Larkin Conley. As you know, he is a business advocate. And Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, marking its ninth anniversary this year. And Henry Chaplinsky is our engineer. I'm Michael Blihash, your host. Thank you for tuning in, because this is what it's all about. A good message is always welcomed by people. Well, I also have greetings from Curtis Ellis. As you know, he is part of the America First Project. He is out doing some work with that project this week. Hopefully, we'll be speaking to him soon. Well, everyone, I'd like to ask all of you a very simple question. When you see something is wrong, I believe you try to correct it as soon as possible. What I mean by that is any type of a problem. Let's take, for instance, if your roof is leaking, you go out of your way to fix it so it doesn't get worse and ruin things in your house or your garage. If you have a flat tire, you fix it so you can get moving on the road again, not be stuck with a flat tire in front of your house. That's the biggest question that many of our supporters ask. Why did the American people watch so many of our jobs leave America and did nothing to stop it? How is it we drove down highways and byways and took a look at these empty buildings where great factories and offices and inventions were being done, see them go out of the country year after year and did nothing? But most importantly, people are getting the message. Why didn't national leaders get a lot of contacts from constituents complaining to them, what's happening to this country? How are we going to expect people to work, raise a family, pay their taxes, and enjoy life? Well, before I go to our panel members, I'm just going to say this. We all know that the past is history. Tomorrow's a mystery, and we really have to do our best to make today the best it can be, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Case in point, on April the 13th, it was reported that 56% of the college graduates felt that the debt they incurred for college will help them in some way gain access to a job that will help them not only have a future, but be able to repay the debt. However, 42% stated they regret having gone into debt to attend college because they have few jobs available to them in the subjects they went to the college for, and therefore they have a lot of trouble repaying that money. Those are interesting points. First, what do we do to fix what we have in this country, which I think is starting to be fixed by a few national leaders as well? And then how do we stick together? How do we get more of our people to unite? behind each other and start speaking up like they never did before. As I watch TV, sometimes I'm disappointed at what I'm seeing the national media portraying. It's the same old rigmarole. It doesn't add anything to our quality of life. I'm going to start off today with Rich Loges. First of all, Rich, how are you doing? And what do you think about the few points that I made today?
Hey, Michael. Good morning. And good morning to our listeners. Hope everybody's doing great. And to our Jewish listeners out there, Michael, we wish them a happy Passover holiday coming up. And so, you know, Michael, the American people are following your lead about a lot of the legacy media. I look at Nielsen, which is the ratings aggregator that looks at the networks, and you can see a lot of the legacy media has just more and more been losing popularity, and that's because there's more competition right now on the internet for people getting to get their information, and it's not a coincidence that the Democrat media industrial complex attacks and is obsessed over some other alternative outlets for information, because they're losing their stranglehold on that. And I think that, Michael, I'll tell you something else. I think some of the stranglehold on matters of our economy, foreign policy, Made in America, all the various issues that we talk about. I just see where we're at now, Michael, and I really believe that we're in the process of a turning point that actually I'm very optimistic about. I really am. I'm actually very hopeful about the direction that we're going in. And it's because, Michael, of, you know, it's not the politicians, right? It's the boots on the ground, right? It's the Mark Andels. It's everything that people are doing in their local communities. Larkin always says politics is local, politics is personal. And everybody, Michael, can influence. Everyone has some ability to influence the outcome, their own and the nation's, including Maine, America. That's why I propose that we all go, Mark, you listening? We all go to the Maine America show, Michael, in October. We go there, we take over, we have a panel Q&A, Mark gets to tell his story, inspires all the dozens and dozens of Maine America manufacturers who are going to be there, because Mark is the living, breathing example that if you want it bad enough, you can get it.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I think the panel idea is great. In fact, if we can even make contact with them, maybe we can get some of those good people to be part of our radio broadcast. You know, Rich, I wanted to tell you about when the last time Larkin was in the studio, him and I talked about doing something like this, a gathering of Made in America people, maybe get them over to the place we were talking about, this Alex in the Northeast, or to the Convention and Visitor Center, maybe go to a place that's convenient in New Jersey. Do you remember that, Larkin? We talked about doing something during November, Made in America month. I think I'd like to see what they're doing in October and try to get them to come and maybe move around the country so that more and more people can do that kind of stuff, get out there and highlight what they have to offer. We have to really start promoting what kind of things they're making. We have to, I ask the political people all the time, can you tell me what the high demand jobs are needed in America right now? And they have no idea. No idea whatsoever. I said, what are America's employers looking for? What high demand jobs could we make sure are in the schools? Can we offer both academic and also career training programs? And they said, well, that's up to the school board. There's no push from more of these elected officials than I ever thought would happen. Yes, Larkin.
No, I agree, Michael. I have a vague recollection of that. I come up with so many foreign ideas, it's sometimes hard for me to keep track of them. But, you know, Mark Andel is a walking and living legacy of what it is one does when he believes feverishly in a concept. And Marx obviously is made in America, and you know, support local, support your families. You know, Mark will go down in history, take my word for it. He will have a long, long legacy. Rich obviously has lived the dream. He started a small business and has, I've checked with him. He and I have talked about the number of nights that you lay awake staring at the ceiling, knowing that you have product coming in, but there's no money in the checkbook or people need to get paid. I mean, he's lived that small business dream, so to speak, you know, giving up that 40-hour-a-week job, as Mark says, so he can work 120 hours a week to make his business work. And those people, obviously, but those two gentlemen, obviously, have enough expertise and experience that they would be of value to anybody. There's certainly value, you know, ongoing value to this program. And in an environment where small businesses are being encouraged by the president, and SCORE and small business, you know, I think it would be wonderful to plan something in the area of Philadelphia to encourage everybody an acute understanding of where small business fits in the scheme of things and how they can start one, and the experiences that the people before them have had in doing that. I think it's a marvelous idea. I truly do.
I think the opportunity in October, I think something coming up in American Made Month, all of these things will definitely help bring attention. As I said a few minutes ago, I talk with some of the elected people, and they don't even know what things are being offered in the schools. They don't understand what, you know, what the major concerns are. It's politics. Who's the majority leader? What the majority leader has to say? If the majority leader will even allow it to be brought to the floor. This is insanity. As I said, there are no tariffs and there are no trade wars when we have things made in America. And by the way, as you look at the nightly news and you look at the various cable channels, there's nobody promoting people like Mark Andel or any of the people that he deals with that are killing themselves to make those products in America. There's absolutely no concern. No concern.
Yeah, I went to a Board of Education meeting the other day, and, you know, this political infighting is everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. No matter, the closer you get to the curb, the more personal it seemingly becomes. But, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, the pace to all of this is being set by our dear friend Nancy Pelosi. Some of the garbage that she's coming up with. If you saw our last week in 60 Minutes, she was nothing but argumentative. She was nothing but wanted to make remarks about Trump and how unfit he is for office. Well, if he's unfit for office, tell me where that possibly could be. I mean, you want to set a moral standard? Well, then do me a favor and make the chapter one of your little moral standard about Bill Clinton, who changed the morality level in this entire country, let alone the world, getting his little sexual activities in the Oval Office, no less, and then turning around and lying to the TV, to the people of America, and lying under oath to a federal judge. Listen, we don't need a double standard now. We just need to move forward. We need to fix the problems we have, and we need to stop quibbling. Nancy Pelosi needs to get back to work.
Well, I agree. Larkin, I agree 2,000%. The problem is they shouldn't even allow her on a place like 60 Minutes unless she's coming in to talk about solutions. What are the solutions that we need? This program tries very hard to focus on the concerns of American workers. But she never does anything to concern herself about anything but political bickering. Did she offer a suggestion that you heard? I didn't see the broadcast. That she has, that how we're going to help make these trade agreements much better for American workers. Did she say that? No.
Michael, what's the number one problem the country faces right now that we really need to resolve on the quick turn? It's immigration.
The illegal, my question is, they started screaming and yelling on our local radio stations and on national. I have a question I'm going to ask everybody. Where are the illegal immigrants being settled right now? And by the way, where have they been being settled in the last 10 years? Now, I saw a statistic which I was concerned about. They said that 400,000 new people came to Texas in the last 2 years, and each year, 400,000 per year. Of that amount, only 79,000 of them were Americans. So that means Texas is picking up the majority of these illegal immigrants, and they are being stuck with the bill, begging the federal government for money, for protection, for education, for health care. I think Nancy Pelosi should be out there asking things like, why can't we settle them all over the country, especially near her house and her family's house? Who's paying for these immigrants? Who is paying for their education? Who's paying the medical costs? How are the schools taking them in, teaching them English as a second language? That's the question everybody asked me. And I'm glad it's starting to come up. You know, for 30 years, this has been going on, and it's never came up until now. By the way, where have all these illegals been housed? And that's the question. Do you have any idea, Mark, where they have been housed? Are you getting them up in New York?
Absolutely not, Michael. How are you? You know, I want to bring on Mike and Rich. Thank you so much for, you know, pushing the biggest Made in America event, I think, is going to be this October in Indiana. Larkin, thanks for the kind comments. And Rich, you're really on to something. I've got an interview with Jason Blount at 1 o'clock today. And then Don that reached out, as you see. I'm going to try and connect us all, but they'll know about the American Workers Radio Show. Michael, they'll know about what you're about, and Larkin and you know, Rich. So we'll have a good interview that's at 1 o'clock today on that whole Made in America event show. So that'll be something. You know, we create and save jobs, Mike, in the United States of America. That was my mission with the Made in America store. But you got to have jobs. You got to have work to create jobs. And I think, you know, our president's done a great job at that, creating work in our country so we can create the jobs. I sent a link around this week. It aired RTV7 here, local station, did a 716, they call it, jobs, but it was on the skilled trades push. Sue had sent that this morning to you guys. It's a link on the email, but it did air every day this week. Pretty neat. It talks about what we talk about and what we believe. So hats off to you, Mike, for always believing in what we our mission is. And we're making a difference on that skilled trades push. A lot is going on around even that show, Rich. You're right. It's a major show in Indiana. It's growing. I you know, they got a lot of elected officials, possibly the president going. A lot of big stuff happening there. And it's I think it's going to be one of the biggest Made in America events ever.
Beautiful. I love it. In fact, we will do some broadcasts highlighting that particular event. Maybe we can even do something from that event. That would be great.
Let's do it, Michael.
I'll fill you in, Rich, as we go after this interview today.
You know, first of all, getting back to the point where Nancy Pelosi and so many of these other people are yelling and screaming, we don't want these people coming into just any states. The question is, where are they going? What states are they going to? What cities are being impacted by all these illegals coming to them? First, more people coming to any city will only cause the loss of jobs for American workers.
Michael, can I comment?
And more people coming in illegally is just going to drive the cost of labor down in America, where we're trying to keep things stable. Yes.
Can I make a comment? And Henry, our great and esteemed audio engineer, he might need to cue up some, if I could turn back time for the end of the show, Michael, because when Cher, I have no personal animus against Cher. I have nothing against her personally. But when Cher is smarter about illegal immigration and immigration policy, Michael, than the billions of dollars funding your Democrat political party, you probably should resign. Like, you should just hang up your cleats, because Cher gets it. Did you see what she said the other day? She said, we can't take any more illegal aliens into Los Angeles. We have our own people we've got to take care of, including veterans.
I saw that. Very intelligent.
Said, right? And I thought to myself, wow, Cher, Mark, Cher's on board. That's, there it is. If she could turn back time, play it. Turn it up. You bet.
She got it.
That's it. Cher knows. Cher knows. You guys remember in that video, her 10-year-old kid was there. She was walking around in a fishnet, half nude. Remember that? I remember that video.
I'm watching it right now.
She knows. Mark, did she? She knows.
She didn't write that song. Diane Warren wrote that song.
She knows it. Nancy Pelosi knows it. These people, Michael, these Democrats don't believe the bull coming out of their mouths. When I used to be a reporter in Westchester County, the highest property tax county in America, full of affluent white people, there always were these discussions about cell towers and construction and preserving land. And all the affluent white Democrats used to say, NIMBY. Not in my backyard. No. Send them to Connolly's neighborhood, right? Send them to Andel's schools. Not in my backyard. NIMBY. Not in my share. No. Not in my backyard. They don't believe the bull coming out of their mouths. But it's all about, Michael, politics is like any other business. It's about sales. The sales pitches, everything Larkin talks about, everything you talk, the sales pitches are determined by the markets. So the Democrat politicians have come to a conclusion that their markets want to hear about all of these kooky issues about slavery reparations and three genders and all this other crap. And then call it immoral to say, well, we have people who are in our country right now. There are cities that have your mayor, Michael, cheered, is on camera, film, having cheered being named a sanctuary city. You know that, right?
He danced.
He danced to it. Okay, well, if that's what you want to be, then but not in my, we just don't want to be a sanctuary city where I live, though, on my street. My street's exempt, Michael, from sanctuary city politics. They don't believe this bull. But here's the problem, though. Okay, now look, it was a good move by the president, but here's the problem with that. I remember when hearing these stories about Kate Steinle and Molly Tibbetts, and I remember people would go on social media and say, well, the people in these cities get what they deserve, and, you know, they voted for this. Michael, here's the fact, though. A lot of people in Philadelphia, right? I mean, I don't know how many, but people, not everybody in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Miami voted for these politicians who believe in sanctuary cities. And any politician, any level of government, the first job, the first duty of that level of government, whether it's state, local, or national, is to keep people safe.
Rich, I'm going to ask you a big question right now.
Sure.
And that is, who in those cities voted to make that city a sanctuary city?
Well,
who voted? Did the people vote? Was it on the ballot? Did Larkin, did you vote for it?
It doesn't have to be on the ballot, though, Mike. It doesn't need to be on the ballot.
Why not? Why not? This is a, first of all, a sanctuary city must be satisfied with the illegal immigrants coming to the city, and that's fine if they want to accept them. My argument is they should get no federal dollars for anyone settling in their city that is breaking America's laws.
Sanctuary cities, Michael, are in violation of our Constitution. Your question needs to be directed to the people who voted for the politicians who made as part of their campaigns. All issues are always on a referendum, so to speak, in an election. Like we went through 2016, like your mayor, like mayors all, like the mayor of Oakland, another city run by Democrats for 20,000 consecutive uninterrupted days, who proudly says, yeah, we're a sanctuary city. And so people are electing that, Michael. That's part of their agenda. That's part of their campaigns. It's not in a referendum, but there are elections.
You're right, Rich. Here is my question again. In Europe, you have something that's controversial. The people have an election. They take to the streets. They agree or disagree. They want to have money to build playgrounds. They put it on a referendum, Larkin. You know that in Philadelphia. Do people vote yes or no?
That's correct.
An issue like being a sanctuary city should be up to the taxpayers, the people who reside in this city. Where has that ever been on a ballot?
What, and where does the mayor of Los Angeles, the governor of the state of California, the mayor of Seattle, the mayor of San Francisco, where do these people get off going, okay, see, here's the deal. We're not going to obey the rule of law. We're not. We're not going to pay attention to any federal laws as they relate to immigration. Period. Amen. And, you know, we're not going to allow you to come in here and take people who have committed felonies and run them out of the country. It's like me. It's like me going to Mexico and get caught stealing, shoplifting, whatever. You just don't do that. And when it happens, in some countries, they throw you in jail and you never see the light of day.
They throw you in jail immediately. And you're not given all that you're given in any jail in America. You are given hard times, real hard times.
Michael,
so you never want to return again. The thing with the sanctuary cities, all of these leaders saying, we must open up our hearts and our pocketbooks to help these people. How are they helping us? They're taking jobs.
It's all part of that pompous American attitude. It's that idea on the part of the Democrats that we can be everything for everybody, regardless of the circumstance. And it never has worked. It never will work. And shame on all of those West Coast sanctuary city governors and mayors who said to the president, we will not allow you to use immigrants as pawns. Pardon me?
Oh.
Yeah. And guys, who covers all the expenses for all these freebies? Us business owners. I mean, it's getting so hard to make a dollar. We're busy again, but the regulations, the paperwork, we're just paying, and it is hard to make a dollar. Larkin in business, now you must see it out there, to get capital from a bank to make $1 is very hard. So it's frustrating to see that people don't get it, that we can't just keep giving.
Mark, you're right. And you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit of why this has been happening in the last, say, 20 years. Everybody said America is going to be a service-oriented economy. The hard work is going to be done overseas. We'll just import the stuff and we'll sell it to people and everything will be hunky-dory. They never took into consideration one part of the problem is if people are not working, they're not able to buy a lot of that stuff. So the service-oriented economy that they thought was going to be the big thing 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 18 years ago, has now fallen flat on its face. Our stores are overwhelmed with contracts from foreign countries that they have to wait till they get out of that contract before they can even start making their own products here in the USA. Those foreign countries were very clever. When they built those factories over there, they took in 8, 10, 15-year contracts to make those items. I mentioned that before. The biggest thing is the service-oriented economy flopped, totally a flop.
Michael, if I may, if Mark, 9 years, right, Mark? For you, 9 years. Okay, if Mark... If he was in the Made in America business looking for for accolades and fame. He'd have given it up, right, Mark? You'd have given it up a long time ago.
Yes.
It's a thankless. It isn't that it isn't fulfilling, but it's like anything else, Michael. It's a thankless pursuit, but it doesn't. But that doesn't make it any less important and worthy to pursue it, because eventually, and this is why I say I'm optimistic. You know, I'm cautiously pessimistic.
Oh, things, but Rich, you should be very optimistic, because things are changing in a very positive manner. I'm seeing more Made in America flags and all than I've ever seen in the last 25 years.
We can now measure, Michael. We can measure the fact that more product is being made here. We can measure the fact that Made in America, thanks to Mark, amongst others, we got Mike Sessions.
Yes.
Listen, I want Mike Sessions to come and join us in October. We can start to measure this now. We just went through tax day. It's Larkin, it is amazing to me, just astounding, how so many Americans don't realize that they're getting more of money in their paychecks. Because the entire narrative out of the Democrat media industrial complex has been that they're not.
Rich, and if you get more money in your paycheck every week for 52 weeks, then you don't get as big a return.
I mean,
you're getting it every week.
Can you get these people? They need a civics textbook and an accounting 101, Mark. I mean, I'm just amazed, Lark.
Every employee I have, Rich, $7 to $42 more a week.
It's so harsh to maybe say this, but, and I guess I'm going to answer my own question, but do Democrats in a D-Mike truly hate Trump voters that much?
Yes.
Put the money in their pocket, then they hate
right,
him, Rich.
That they wouldn't say, hey, you got more money. That's our money, Michael. That's our money. It's not the government's money. It's our money.
Right. In many cases, people used the government as a savings plan that they received after they filed their income tax. The newest plan is, give the people the money, let them save it themselves, and take away a whole wing of government worrying about getting you returns. You know, it's really time for all of us to put the cards on the table. We have to really be real about what the taxpayers are paying for in this great country of America. We have to really be legal. We have to think of this. Where are these illegals benefiting America? How could anybody, I don't care if it's Democrats or Republicans, say we need more and more people in America? There's 7
Michael,
million
Michael.
Jobs right now, Larkin, open,
yeah, but,
and we
but,
can't
but
fill them. We
listen,
need to bring in K-1.
These aren't skilled workers that are coming in. Listen to me very carefully.
Illegals. No, they're not skilled.
There's a reason. I'm telling you, look, the people coming across the border right now can't put four words together in Spanish or English. They are not smart people. And that's what we need now. We need smart, trained people. And what we're letting in are unsmart, untrained people. But there's a reason why there's nothing happening in the world of immigration. The Republicans are facing the hugest opportunity they have ever had of expanding their voting base. Every one of these people coming across the border is going to vote Democrat, and they're going to go out into these cities. I've sat on election tables for 15 years in Philadelphia, and I'm going to tell you how many illegal aliens are going to vote in Philadelphia. I can promise you how many are going to vote. It's going to be an enormous number. And that's what the Democrats do. So Republicans, step up to the plate and let's get something done. No, they had two clear years of a completely Republican-controlled federal government. But there is a side of an ugly underbelly to the Democratic Party that says, well, you know, how fast do we want to move on this? This is awful cheap labor. These people will come over here, and I know this firsthand. These people will come over here and work for nothing.
Nothing.
They'll come over here, and they'll apply a work ethic that this country hasn't seen since the 20s and 30s.
And you're right, Larkin. And they will come here, and they will work hard because it's 10 times better than what they left. And I don't mind immigrants at all. We're all the sons and daughters and families of immigrants at some point to America. However, we came here invited either during the Industrial Revolution, or we came here permitted to come because we were doing family reunification or something. We're talking long time ago. The new people are coming in just because they're barging down the doors. And that is not something any of us should accept. As soon as national leaders saw illegals were costing America tens of billions of unnecessary tax dollars every year, they should have taken action. That wall should have been built, or whatever they wanted to put up to stop it. Government aid to the country sending people to this United States should have been stopped immediately, and that those dollars for foreign aid should have been to put restraints on our borders so no one enters our door, as no one enters should enter our home, without our invitation, period.
I'm just going to say it again. The Democrat politicians agree with you. They do. They don't believe the bull that comes out of their mouths. They sell what they sell because they have determined that the voting market, their voting base, wants that. And I am convinced, I'm not saying they're trying to lose on purpose, Michael, but I am convinced that the Dems know that these kooky policy ideas that they are pitching to the country, unfortunately, there are millions of people who will vote for them. But I know, I am sure of it, Larkin, that the Dems know that they will, that they cannot win on them. The other day, I was reading an article by Paul Krugman. He's the economist at the New York Times. Smart guy. I don't disagree on everything he says. But he says the other night, Larkin, he says, I'm starting to get the feeling that Trump's going to get reelected. And I wrote to him on Twitter. I said, Paulie, you better get used to that feeling, dude, because it's going to be a long next 2,000 days for you guys.
You know, Mark and Larkin and Rich, as I'm looking at these people running for office, I'm really disappointed because this is the best America has to offer.
Right.
Not one of them has given an idea how people are going to make an income. They haven't impressed me. Everything is what we're going to give away. How are we going to pay for anything?
You're exactly right, Mike.
How the hell are we going to pay for it?
Well, listen. First of all, let me tell you this. No matter how brilliant I think I am, and no matter how much I think I can get on point and get things done, I'm not running for office. Are you kidding me? If my wife ever heard from Mary Lou Bender because I was running for president, I'd be in trouble. Now, granted, it happened 48 years ago, but Mary Lou Bender can screw me right to a wall. There's no way I'm running for president.
And besides, I think it's great that all these people have come out because it'll give the American people the knowledge of what real people are thinking in their homes and in their hearts and at their kitchen tables, and what these people who are seeking national office are thinking, trying to sell them a bill of goods, which is so foolish in some cases, it's almost unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Probably the president will be reelected based upon his message, America first. America first. I feel very badly that people like Nancy Pelosi are even in that position, that they should be able to block some of the good things that are being done in this country to move it forward. Her going on 60 minutes, 70 minutes, or 90 minutes, it's all bull. It's a waste of our time. Anybody who sat there and looked at it should have said to themselves, is this where this country has gone? The real greatest country on earth, as far as I'm concerned. Is this where we've come? This is our most prestigious leader in the House of Representatives?
This person is two heartbeats away from the White House.
That's right.
She's two heartbeats away from the White House. And do you know what she said the other day off the record, but it obviously got heard and published? She said, What do you mean, why don't I release my taxes? Why should I? Now, remember, here on 60 Minutes, she just said, I'm the smartest person in the Hill. I've got a lot of energy. I'm built like a brick young house. I'm beautiful. Yeah, I am 8 months away from being 80, but I'm just that brilliant. And I could do certainly do a better job than Trump did. Now, just emphasize the fact that she's two heartbeats away. She's number three in line for the presidency. And you know what she said? I'll release my tax returns, which, by the way, she has never released. I'll release my tax returns when I run for president.
Interesting.
That is your House leader. That is the political boss that sets the agenda for Congress. That's who she is. And by the way, y'all keep your ears to the rail, because there's a story about to break big time. As you know, she's over there running around Europe. She's in Italy. She was supposed to be visiting the troops over there in Italy. And guess what she did last night? Under the cover of darkness, she went and visited the Pope and spent about 3 hours. Yep. She didn't want anybody to know she was there. She went there under the cover of night.
Is that right? I didn't hear that.
Well, you haven't, because it just isn't quite on the street yet. But I promise you it'll be big news in the next couple. Unless, of course.
And by the way, who paid for that trip?
We did.
Why? Why would we pay for her to go and visit anyone?
She's over there telling her troops in Italy. By the way, there are 1,100 of them, I think. Telling our troops over in Italy what a great job they're doing. What do you mean a great job they're doing? They have purple teeth and tomato sauce in their hair. They're drinking wine and eating spaghetti. There's nothing going on in Italy that demand that kind of. That's a staging area for us, for the Middle East. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I'll release my taxes when I run for president. Well, honey, you're two heartbeats away from the job.
I want purple teeth. I could go for some pasta right now, Larkin.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I want you to know, everyone, you are listening to our great panel members, Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel. You just heard from our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. I'm really very entertained by today's broadcast. We covered a number of subjects. There's something I want to just mention before we go back to speaking with everybody. Kindly go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. We mentioned Mike Sessions a little earlier. Click on that link on the right side of the page, American Workers Radio, where you can get it now on the iPhone app. You can also go to the free Buy American app, which is presented by Go for Made in the USA, which is helping unite people employing people to make things here in the USA. Mike's done a very important service to the community, and I want to say thank you to him for also helping us to promote our radio broadcast, not only in our broadcast area, but across the USA. Also, I want to bring attention once again to another person who's received an enormous amount of publicity lately, and that is Adam from OpenTheBooks.com. Adam Andrzejewski really brought a lot of attention to things that people had never even thought about.
Yeah.
Some people told me they looked at it in amazement. How could this information ever be generated? But it's legal to put up there. He's done a great job generating that information, and I urge you to look at it. Also, we're coming up upon Easter, the Easter holiday. And if you can, just take a look at U.S. Debt Clock right there on the front page. Take a look at all those facts and figures and see what's going on. Look at the debt that our youth are in. Look at the debt our America is in. It's disgraceful. It really has to be done. And we have to start doing something about it by supporting one another. As I said a few times in the last few weeks, there are no tariffs and there are no trade wars when we support American made. Also, Mike, yes, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I had an entrepreneur on my show yesterday. We were recording for WEC, and, you know, he was just an average Joe, and he wanted to develop a lawn ornament, and he started getting into it. Larkin, you would have loved him. Didn't know anything about business, or just started it, had an idea, a pretty unique idea, and wanted to go for it, and started to check around. And his father-in-law served our country, loved our Made in America story, so kept saying, "Did you see Mark yet? Did you see Mark yet?" Well, drove him a little crazy. He's seen me. But he ended up making this product in America, about a $50,000 die, but he can't believe why other people don't after he's making it here, producing a top-quality product at a reasonable price and selling it, you know, for $19.99. He said, "Why doesn't everybody? I can." And he's a normal guy that's making a lawn ornament that's pretty hot in Buffalo. It's a pink buffalo, and it you know, proceeds go to helping you know, breast cancer victims and things like that. But it's pretty neat that he started from scratch. But his point was, why doesn't everybody make things in America? You can. I'm proof. I'm doing
absolutely.
It right now.
You know, Mark, I think we should make up our own little resolution to appoint Nancy Pelosi as the person who's going to feature the bringing a resolution to the wall issue and to how we're going to end the illegal immigration in America. It seems that all these elected people do a lot of talking, but they have no solution.
As I said earlier,
if you get a flat tire, you have to fix it. If you have a roof problem, you fix it. These people talk, but they fix zero.
You guys know, you remember in the past how I've joked how Democrats would vote for Jeffrey Dahmer if he ran as a Democrat? And they'd say, "Well, Mark, I know he's a cannibalistic serial killer, but he's a pro-choice cannibalistic serial killer who believes that we should have three genders on our driver's licenses." Remember how I said that, Michael?
Yes, I do.
Well, guess who agrees with that? You want to know who agrees with that?
Nancy.
Nancy Pelosi. You know how I know that? Because she said the other day this glass of water would have won some congressional districts in the country. That's what she said, Larkin. That it doesn't matter who runs in some. Now, look, there's Republican districts like that also. Again, let's be objective here. She said this glass of. They were talking about some of the three stoogeses who have come into Congress, right? The anti-Semite, the Bronx girl who really grew up in an affluent white area, and then the other one, Tlaib, who talked about watching her, who cited a quote and got excited over an old saying about watching your enemies float dead face down in a stream. Did you guys know that? It's a member of Congress, Michael, who referenced that.
Yep.
That's a member of Congress. Okay. So Pelosi said that this glass of water would have won in those districts, right? Some of those districts. So, again, if you just – if Ted Bundy ran, they'd say, he's a Democrat. I was a Democrat years ago, right? Larkin, they'd say, I was voting Dem with the, you know, electrical workers union. Ted Bundy ain't that bad. Not that bad, right? Yeah, both fans. Right.
It could be worse. Hey, let me clear the air here. Nancy Pelosi has an answer. It's just that every time she opens her mouth and says it, people laugh at her. But she is the leader of the pack. Listen to me carefully. She is the leader of the pack for completely and totally open borders. Take down the walls. Take away the gates. You want to come in? You're in. She is completely for open borders.
Okay, that's fine, Larkin, that she's completely for that. But she has to be, we should appoint her as the leader of the movement to tell us how these people are going to be paid for. Their resettlement, number one, is huge. Then their education, their housing, their medical. How are these bills? Nancy, please answer the question for the American people. Who is paying for all this resettlement? And by the way, I don't know for sure. Did I hear that California is a sanctuary state?
Yes.
Okay, then let's march all the new people to the sanctuary state, because I don't see any reason why a sanctuary city or state would object to take any of these illegal people in their cities. I don't have any objection as long as the taxpayers, that's you and I and everyone listening, does not have to pay for those resettlement costs because these people entered our doorway without our permission.
Well, it's you have to understand, we're a country of laws. We have probably one of the greatest bases, foundations for fair laws. You're innocent until proven guilty. I mean, it's outrageous the way we run this country. And the fact that we have $23 trillion in debt and that an upstart Democrat from the Bronx, which is not true, from the Bronx is telling us that we can have Medicare for all, guaranteed minimum income. I mean, her Big New Deal is it's 40 plus trillion dollars. It doubles our national debt. The Democrats have no idea what a debt is. They don't know how serious it is. And the problem is a party, the Republicans, who always thought that they understood debt and that they understood business, have really kind of turned their back on the national debt also. They're just as complicit here. So, listen, it's the topic for the next two decades.
Well, see, Larkin, that's what makes what's happening in many countries in Europe is these things go on the ballot. And the people running for office tell the people, well, I'm all for bringing in the people and I'm going to, you know, gather the tax dollars from you, the taxpayer. None of that is being done. That's why I'm saying these controversial issues should be put on the voting ballot. And every 6 months, a referendum for this or that. No federal action is allowed to be taken unless it's approved by the voters. And then the voters can't say a word. We can't say a word. But we're not being pushed around by people in Washington who are just saying, well, this is what we want. Look at the regulations that they approved on businesses over the years. A lot of those regulations are now gone. People are in business. They feel better about businesses. They're not being taxed to death. We have to start doing that. It's time for us to unite American workers and their families and get after people, elect the people that will focus on getting a referendum on the ballot and get more jobs in every state and city in America.
Michael, don't forget. Larkin, if I may, since today's I like that today's episode is about Nurse Ratched Nancy. Guys, ever see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Remember Louise Fletcher, Nurse Ratched? Nurse Ratched Nancy? Nurse Ratched Nancy, Larkin, also said the other day, the Constitution is at stake in 2020. So the same person who says the Constitution is in danger of being shredded in 2020 also tells you that the economy is Obama's and there's no crisis at the border. So we're falling apart at the seams. But, oh, everything, Mark, at the border is great. Don't worry about that. And I'd say, Nancy, like, if we had an actual honest media, like, if we had an honest Democrat media industrial complex that was even the least bit inquisitive and curious, they'd say, Nancy, do you really believe the bull coming out of your mouth right now? Yeah. So everything's falling apart, but the border's good. We're good. And the economy is President Obama's, right?
But see, the people there in Texas and California and other states that are absorbing all of these new illegals, they should be up in arms, the people. Their wages and all have to be going down because they, of course, their taxes are different there and they're not as high as they are in other states. But they're still being killed by costs of bringing in these illegals, housing them, providing medical attention, the schools, the whole deal. Why aren't these people in those border surrounding states themselves up in arms? I don't understand it.
Well, it's it's a wonderful thing. to listen to Mark and to Rich and to yourself and to Henry, and the fact that we care enough that we've at least put out an effort to do this show for X number of years, I guess it is now. But, you know, people don't care. People don't care, Michael. They
people,
don't care.
But Larkin, I, in one respect, have to say they didn't care, but now they're starting to care. And the reason they're starting to care is that their children and their grandchildren are not being able to get the jobs that get them enough money to pay their bills and be on their own. People 30 years ago had the jobs that allowed them to make at least enough money to pay their basic bills and live a half-decent life. Today, the boys and girls are in debt up to their ears for going to college to get a degree that's not going to help them go out of graduation ceremony and into a job.
I'm sorry, but they don't care. They don't care. If they cared, we wouldn't have an immigration problem. If they cared, we wouldn't have a health care problem. If they cared, we wouldn't have $23 trillion in debt. But they defer to the politicians. They've deferred to the politicians for who knows how long. They don't care. They flat don't care.
That is why, Larkin, it's more important than ever than the people who are working today, people trying to keep a family together, keep their bills paid, get together, unite, and start electing people that will be focused on the job that they're electing them to do. Not to bring in everybody in the kitchen sink, but keep America first. As you hear the music, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you for tuning in. I know that our Jewish friends are marking Passover. The Christian friends are doing Easter. And all of you will be celebrating the brand new spring season. And hopefully we're going to have a lot of spring coming up, because we've had some pretty rough weather lately. And in behalf of all of us in the Blihash family, and I'm sure that Larkin, Rich, Mark, Henry all join with me, we wish all of you a great holiday, and tune into rebroadcasts of American Workers Radio. The best thing that you can do is go out and speak up where you shop, because those stores are depending on your business. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best.
Have a great Easter, guys.